1 Chronicles 22 in your Bibles, where I want you to notice again, verse 16 of this text, and especially take notice, if you would, of two interesting words. He says, "Of the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." Now, the two words I want you to notice, which again form the title of today's message, are the words "be doing." He says, "Arise, therefore, and be doing." In some ways, this is the title of David's message to God's people as well. This, in his last final words to God's people, he's an aged, seasoned, battle-scarred soldier and king. David comes up and he speaks to this people, this amazing farewell message, and it could be summarized again, I think, by the words "be doing." Now, obviously, it's an unusual construct in the English language. "Be," that just means be present, you're there. "Doing," which means action, work, activity. So it's "be doing." As you might guess, I also looked up the Hebrew language, and it's just one word in the Hebrew, which is the word "make," as in make a pie, or make dinner, or make breakfast. I don't know, it's all about food, but okay, make a spreadsheet, make a plan, make a sculpture. "Be doing," David said. And I have to say, in so saying, he demonstrates and illustrates for us some of the greatest truths that are repeated throughout the Scriptures about the Christian life. Listen, we are not told this morning to arise and be doing and build a Solomon's temple. But we are told to arise and be doing about making and building something far, far greater. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. And now I ask, Father, that you'll help us. Any sin that's between us and you, Father, please cleanse with your blood, Jesus' blood. And please, Father, any distraction, help us now to focus our hearts and our minds on the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We noted earlier here in 1 Chronicles 22, King David is basically giving to Solomon and the people his last final words of counsel. David knows that his life, his days, are soon coming to an end. And with all of the power and all of the emotion that you would expect from the sweet psalmist of Israel, these last words are strong, very strong indeed. You know, people tend to put a little extra weight, a little extra authority on what somebody says in their final days. Why? Because you just assume. You assume that the person speaking is going to be, what he says is serious and profound, and whatever he will put forth in his last dying breath. Conrad Hilton, the founder of Hilton Hotels, was asked on his deathbed by his own family any last words of wisdom that he might impart. And unfortunately, they were kind of lame. He said in his last breath, always, quote, "keep the shower curtain inside the tub." Okay, you know, whatever. That's not exactly, I regret that I have but one life to live for my country. But it was his advice. Fortunately, King David's last words were not only recorded for us because of God's grace and wisdom, but they were as serious and as spiritual as they could possibly be. And of course, included in his final words is this word of admonition from his son, and to his son Solomon, rather, these wise words on how and why to build the temple of God. And by the way, I remind you that this entire project, which started, you remember, in David's heart, was pleasing in the eyes of God, just as it is with any endeavor in your heart. Any endeavor in your heart that is noble and virtuous and beneficial and Christ-honoring. Yes, I'm saying that God wants to bless the work of your hands, that whatsoever your hand findeth to do, he wants you to do it with all of your might. The question is, how does one enjoy this blessing? How does one enjoy the favor of God and go about building any work that is a glory to God? Three things I want us to notice very quickly. There are three things that David says in particular to his son Solomon. The first one you'll notice is the simple admonition, number one, to arise. Verse 16, "Arise, therefore." You have the stuff, you have the building, you have the silver, you have the brass, you have the gold, you have the means. He says, arise. In other words, now follow this. Is there something that you're supposed to do in your life or want to do? Is there something you're supposed to be building? A career or a business, a family, a marriage, a ministry, godly children? You want to build a great testimony for the Lord. Well, look, the very first thing that some of you in this room have got to do right now is start. Just get moving. You first have to push yourself away from the table or the TV or the game or the phone and do that first thing. Now, look, I know this is Sunday morning, and I know that this is sort of obvious and unusual. But again, some of you here right now have been meaning to do something. And it's something that is good and right and timely for you to do. Something that you know pleases God. And now, it's past time to start. Arise, David says. He repeats the word arise again in the last verse. Arise, he says. Just as Nehemiah would say many, many years after this. No more procrastination, no more excuses, no more wavering, no more rabbit trails. Just start. Start now. In fact, start the first thing Monday morning. You know, when I was a boy, I used to watch a TV show called Kung Fu. Our whole family did. We sat around and waited for that every Friday night. And more than once, David Carradine quoted the Tao Te Ching, which is the proverb book, and that very famous proverb, a journey, actually he would whisper it, remember, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, right? And as a kid, I remember thinking, man, that is so profound. But does anybody actually walk 1,000 miles? Although I do remember telling Louise, I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500 more. Just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles and fall down at your door. And you would fall down. Okay, so it's simple. And it's obvious. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with, and the actual quote is, it begins beneath your feet. You have to start, folks. I can tell you this much for certain. The one thing that Satan does not want you to do in any godly endeavor is take the first step. That's why he met Jesus in the wilderness. Stop him there. Stop him now. Don't let him take this first step of public ministry. Don't get baptized, he says. Don't go to that first important meeting. Don't start that Bible reading schedule. Don't go to that first choir practice. Don't begin that prayer journal. Don't walk down that aisle. Don't take any step of faith that is the beginning of a godly plan. But beloved, if it's a good thing, if it's of God, there is never a reason to wait. I was counseling a couple just a few years ago, and there was something that they needed to do to basically save their marriage. And so I reminded them of some scriptures. I showed them the scriptures and why it says, this is what you must do. And I said, now you're going to do this, right? And the husband said to me, well, let me pray about it. And I said to him, why? He's listening right now. I said to him, why? I said, you don't need to go home and pray about this. At least you don't need to go home and pray if you should do this. And he said, well, I never in my life ever thought that I'd hear a pastor say, don't pray about something. And I said to him, I said, well, you know what? I already showed you what God says. God already showed you and told you what to do. If you have a child and you say to your child, don't ever hit your mother again, and your son says, well, let me pray about that, Dad. That's going to go over really well. Folks, if it is a clear thing in the will of God, and if it is a clear thing in the Word of God, just take the step. Arise, therefore, and start. And you know what? Yes, sometimes you have to take that first step without ever seeing the entire staircase. It's called faith. Brings us to the second thing. Number one, arise. The second thing you'll notice he says is be doing. The title of the message. There it is. Verse 16, the last line. Arise, therefore, and he says, be doing. You know what that means? Do it and don't stop. Be doing. In other words, once you take this step of faith, whatever it is in the will of God, that first step, once you start on doing something that you know God wants you to do, it's for good and for God, the next thing you must remember and always remember is don't give up. Have you ever seen a construction project that was halted or abandoned after about half of the process? About 20, 25 years ago, there was a church off of I-95 in Northlake. Anybody remember it? Yeah. That church stopped its construction somewhere for months. It sat there, unfinished. The weeds grew around it, plywood deteriorating. The parking lot was unpaved. And for the longest time, it became a reproach. It was unsightly. It was a reproachful thing to see a work that just remained unfinished. Imagine for a moment what a reproach it would have been to the nation of Israel halfway through if Solomon said, "Man, I'm just tired of this. It's costing too much time, too much effort, and too much money. You know, it was fun in the beginning. It was exciting in the beginning when it started. But now it's hard, and I want a new project," and he quits. Imagine the eyesore, the embarrassment, the waste, the derision that it would have drawn, and rightfully so. And yet, beloved, it's far worse, when Christians are trying to build their marriage and they quit. That's a reproach. Maybe they're building the lives of their children. As we just saw a few moments ago, they're dedicating themselves to bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But then those kids become teenagers, and they're like, "This used to be fun. It's not fun anymore. I quit." Folks, you can't quit. You're not finished yet. None of us are finished. In fact, none of us are really finished with anything that's good and godly until God calls us home. Arise, God says, and be doing and keep on be doing. You know, above all else, that applies to your Christian walk and character. That you, as a child of God, by the grace of God, are His workmanship, and you are building your own testimony. And you know when you'll be done building your life, your character, growing and growing in the Lord? When you see Jesus. Not when you know more Bible verses than the person behind you or in front of you. Not when you attend more church services than the person down the row. No, no, no. You'll be done growing when you see Christ and you'll see Him as He is. I remember 34 years ago as a new pastor here at Beacon, I had one specific goal. A little bit of a burden that I wanted to get done the first few weeks I was here, and that was to get the entire exterior of our building out there on Center Street painted. It was bothering me because the very first Saturday that I went on visitation on Delaware Street, just door to door on Delaware, I said, "I'm the new pastor of Beacon Baptist Church." She said, "Beacon Baptist." She said, "Oh yeah, that's that building that needs to be painted." I'm like, "Oh, okay." Now, he wasn't wrong. So we called a work day, and Wednesday night took an offering. And one Saturday morning, we started painting, had about 10 or 12 men. Good group. Rolling, brushing, back rolling, brushing. In August, about 3 hours later, 11 o'clock, two or three guys had to go. Then we had lunch after that. A lot of guys didn't come back, and they were full and happy. And then we went back at it hard, and it was hot, and we were tired. By 3 o'clock, the buildings, I think, were about two-thirds done, and a couple of guys said, "Hey, we're almost done. Let's just finish this up next Saturday," and they left, and then there were three, and about 5 o'clock, another guy left because he was about to pass out. And then with the building almost finished, all that was left was that little old kind of garage on the very east side. It was two people, Steve Hatcher and myself. And I said, "Steve, go on home, man. Let's just go on home." And he said, "Pastor, when we started," this is what he said, I'll never forget it. "When we started this morning, it was a work day, but now it's a quest." That is not what I was hoping he would say. I was exhausted. I was whooped and sunstroked, but way too proud to let a deacon outwork me. So we painted. I got home, and I was fried. And Louise said, "What happened to you?" And I had paint on me on spots all day. When I washed it off, I had white spots on red. It was freckles in reverse. It was weird looking. That Sunday morning, I went to church, and there was a fellow named Ron in our church then. And he said, "Pastor, I left you guys at 11 a.m. after 3 hours or so. And later that night, I'm driving down Center Street, and you're still there, you and Steve, on ladders, painting. Pastor, don't you," this is what he said, "don't you realize in the South Florida, you're going to have to repaint it again in 6 months? I thought he was serious. I wanted to cry. 6 months. You know, I thought about that. I thought, that's not worth it. 6 months? Pfft. Let it be the church that needs to be painted all the time. I don't care. I'm going to tell you what is worth it. whatever it is. Let me tell you what does matter and what doesn't fade away ever, much less 6 months. Any cup of water that you give to someone in Jesus' name. I want to remind you what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, we faint not. Right? Actually, that's not what he says. He says, for this cause we faint not. Because of why we're doing it, because of who we're doing it for, because of the fact that whatever we do in his name and for his glory is eternal, because we faint not, because we have this great and glorious and high calling. Serving God is not repainting the same spiritual wall over and over again, some routine like Greek mythology, pushing a giant rock up a hill so it rolls back down and you just push it back up like religion does. Not at all. This is not what any labor for God is about. Beloved, you and I are to be doing and to be doing and to be doing until we see Christ. And as you continue in church every week, as you continue in the scriptures every day, as you continue in prayer without ceasing, as you keep on laboring and training your children and serving God and being faithful, all of that is on your account. All of that is accounted as in glory. You do realize this. You realize that God knew from the very beginning that this same temple that David says, arise and be making, be building, God knew all along that one day it would be utterly destroyed. So isn't that futile? No. I know that one day maybe by Wednesday, this thing's going to be falling down and all over the place. I know that. It's not about that. God knew all along, but it still had his blessing. And anything with God's blessing is accounted in glory. As I said at the graveside, and almost always do at the graveside, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not. Ever. I have a Bible verse in my office. I actually bought a painting at Kirkland's and put it in my office because it reminded me of the Bible verse. And then I had the text put on it. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. We're just going on higher ground, always. It's not repainting the same wall. It's continuing in doing until we see Jesus, because anything you build to the glory of God, listen to this, finds its final dedication and completion in heaven itself. Eternity is where the Christian cuts the ribbon of every building that he's ever done for God. And so the Apostle Paul says in Romans 2:7, to them who by patient continuance, think about those two words, to them who by patient continuance, then the Bible says, seek glory and honor. Patient continuance and well-doing seek glory and honor. You realize that glory and honor don't come to quitters. It takes patient continuance. Arise and be doing, David said, and Paul adds, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You don't need to get impatient. Don't get overly discouraged. Everybody gets discouraged. Don't get lazy or apathetic now, because you know what? Now is when your children and your grandchildren need you. Now is when your nation needs you. Now is when that marriage that's for the glory of God needs you. Now is when your testimony out there in that dark world that's getting ever darker so fast, now is when that testimony is needed. Now is when this church needs you. Be doing. And keep on doing until you hear, well done, welcome home. Third thing in the text, also verse 16. Look at it, would you? Of the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing. Here it is. And David says, the Lord be with thee. We read it a moment ago. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. In other words, folks, look, listen. You're not going to try, are you? You're not going to try to build that business or that family, or those children, or whatever it is, surely you're not going to try to build your testimony without the blessing and guidance and wisdom of God, are you? See verse 11. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. The Lord be with thee. Verse 12, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. You see, folks, it is critical that once you take, or I take, any step of faith and start doing something with God's blessing, it's critical that you always continue to seek his blessing on what you're doing. How many Christians, they are humble, they are dependent, they are giving, they are prayerful, when their work is small. But they forget all of that when their work gets big. This church is his church. Your children belong to him. You parents who just dedicated those little ones, you're stewards. The children belong to him, not the state, not the village. Him. Your business and thus all of its profit, it's his. Your very testimony of salvation is but by the grace of God. And David said, Solomon, the Lord be with thee. Don't do this in your own. His wisdom, his understanding, the Lord be with thee if you do this work. The Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. The Lord prosper and give thee this charge. In other words, beloved, again, as we close, it is all, whatever it is all about him, and it all depends on him. And that's why prayer is so vital. It is vital to doing and finishing any work for God. If you think that you can raise your children without prayer, you are sorely mistaken. I mentioned those young people up here. I wonder how much prayer went up from John, Doreen, and others. Prayer. If you think you're going to build that business and it's going to glorify God as a business, I'm not saying you can't build a business without God. Steve Jobs did a great job of that. But if the business is going to glorify God, there's going to have to be prayer. If you think you can teach a Sunday school class, build your marriage, your home, that has eternal value, then you're going to have to get on your knees and make sure the Lord is with you. Verse 18, look at it, would you? Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand. And the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. That's one of the greatest, I think, statement sentences in all the Bible. Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, there's that word again, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. All is vain, beloved, if the Spirit of the Holy One does not come down, because the flesh profits nothing. That's not true, Pastor. You should see the big building. The flesh profits nothing. If you really want God to bless your efforts, whatever those be, then understand what David meant when he said to his son, the Lord be with thee. Understand what it means to seek his will, to desire his will, to obey his will, and to fulfill his will. Never forgetting that this temple, this building, whatever you're doing, is for him. It's to the Lord. Arise and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. When my dad was lost for many, many years after I got saved, he didn't go to church. Air Force, tough guy. I got saved, got called to preach. He'll get over that, he said. All that time I prayed for him to be saved. I prayed, Lord, save him, save him, save him. I don't want to see him die without Christ. I don't want to see him go to hell. And then one day I was under conviction. I was in Bible college, just graduated, going off to the ministry. And the Holy Spirit seemed to say to me, why don't you pray that he'll be saved, not so he won't die and go to hell, but so that his life will glorify God, so that he would have a testimony that brings God glory. I changed my prayer. It wasn't too much long after that I got a phone call. Jimmy, I just got saved. Come down and baptize me, and I did. How about you decide that the business, the children that you have, are not so that you can get glory because they're great in sports or academics. How about you decide that you want to raise them up so that they will glorify God? October 20, 1840. Robert Murray McShane wrote a letter to a young man who was leaving his church, going off to Germany. This young man had gotten saved, started to build on his faith, growing in the Lord, and now he was going off to business. And he was leaving the umbrella of McShane's church and ministry. And he wrote him a letter, and I'm thankful that that young man saved that letter and published it. It says this, "My dear friend, I trust you will never forget the nurturing of the inner man, the continual work of grace in your heart, how diligently the cavalry officer keeps his saber clean and sharp. Every stain he rubs off with the greatest care. Remember, you are God's saber, God's instrument, a chosen vessel unto him to bear his name. In great measure, according to the purity and perfections of the instrument, will be the effort of your life and your work. It is not great talent that God blesses, so much as great likeness to Jesus, because a holy Christian is a mighty weapon in the hand of God." What a great message to send off to a young man, a young lady, anybody. There are some of you here this morning who are new converts. You've only recently been saved, and I know for sure that some of you are listening by live stream, and I know because I led some of you to cry, you're a new convert. I think the Lord just wants to remind you that his saving you is just the beginning. Arise and be doing. Peter admonished to add to your faith to grow in grace. Arise and be doing. There are some that are listening and that are in here as well. You've been saved a long time. But the old saber isn't as sharp and clean as it used to be. And that's on you. Maybe the building's been ignored and neglected. All right. That happens. Arise and be doing. And the Lord be with thee. Father in heaven, we are grateful again for your word. I pray, Father, we will hear these words in our hearts and our minds in the days, the weeks, the months ahead. Arise and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. How powerful they are in any endeavor for your honor and for your glory. And how often they're repeated in your word in the New Testament, especially the epistles, to run with patience the race is set up for us, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Help us to obey these words. Bless these who have asked for prayer, Lord, please, in Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.